All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Second half hour tonight. Maude Hawkins, we thank him, and Dr. Glenn Kerr for appearing on the show in the first half hour. And some other friends of ours, our friends at LeClaire Ryan, of course, they bring us the play of the game every week. And we had a couple of plays in contention, but it sounds like Mr. Maloney has made his decision and is ready to report.
Well, to my way of thinking, clearly late in the third quarter, Virginia's defense actually played very well in the third quarter. Stiffened, they held William Mary deep in their end of the field. And the William Mary punter may have outkicked his coverage, and we're not talking about his girlfriend. We're talking about the game and his teammates. And needless to say, UVA's Maurice Kennedy, who was doubling up not only as the cornerback guarding the best receiver for William Mary, he was back there fielding punt returns, and he took it back to the house 75 yards, and it was a big play, and it turned out to be the margin of victory. So not only the play of the game, but maybe the hero of the season as things go forward.
Yeah, that's a game we had to win. Honorable mention, though, to the play we discussed earlier, the 80-yard screen pass to Smoke Mizell. But certainly the punt return, the first one since 2004, deserving of the play of the game honor. And I think we have our guest on the line. So if you want to introduce him, we'll start firing questions at him.
All right, first off, Mark is a former UVA quarterback. He rang up some terrific stats. The Philadelphia native is sixth all-time in passing yardage for UVA with 4,992. Golly gee, he only needed eight more yards to get to 5,000.
Screen pass.
Somebody throw a little dump pass to our running back for crying out loud.
Move the chains one time.
And he also completed 22 touchdown passes, not too shabby. Seventh all-time in total offense with 4,837 yards. I think his best year was 2010. He was on the field for 438 plays and almost 2,800 passing yards. Not bad.
And you're really a friend of his. You don't need, of course, maybe he never threw an interception, but you're not going to mention it.
I'm not going to mention it, because Mark is a friend of the show. Golly G.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Mark, how are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay. No, we're doing fine. You know, I think we'd like to have seen a 3-touchdown or more margin last weekend. And when the third quarter ended and Virginia was up 35-20, my prediction of a 3-touchdown margin looked safe. However, something happened on the way to the fourth quarter. I don't understand it. Ahmad Hawkins was just on the air with us. He said that the team itself just hasn't been used to that kind of situation. And, you know, I think really it has more to do with this season and the fact that they played such high-powered teams to start the season. It was probably the first time all year that the team came to the sideline, took a deep breath, and said, hey, we're up by more than 2 touchdowns. We're okay. And, unfortunately, that little moment of maybe losing focus – was just all that William Mary needed to sort of fight back.
Go ahead, Mark. I'll ask my question in a moment. Go ahead and respond to what Frank said.
Right. Well, you know, I think it's still a pretty early season. I think this team is still trying to kind of find out, you know, who they are a little bit and what their identity is. So, you know, like you said, it was their first time, you know, kind of having a comfortable lead at this early part of the season. So, you know, you learn from those situations, whether it's, you know, losing and having to come back or if it's just keeping your lead or finishing out the game. Those are all opportunities that this team can learn from it and grow upon. So I think the positive thing is that, you know, once William Mary did kind of start fighting back, you know, they took their best shot and they were still able to finish the game, which I think was the most important thing in the end.
Yeah, that was to say that was a critical win is the understatement of all time. You know, Ahmad Hawkins made reference to the fact, I would call it stay aggressive when you get the lead and play as though you're still behind. Is that a mental thing on the players? Is it a factor of play calling? What's involved in that from your perspective as a former quarterback?
I don't think I definitely would agree in saying that you never want to put your foot off the gas. You never want to give them an opportunity to, you know, get back in the game because you've become comfortable or you've become content with the lead. You definitely have to be aggressive in how you're playing the game from the player's part, their perspective. And then as a coaching, from a coach's perspective, I think you definitely, you know, you might be trying to just kind of establish your will on that opposing defense and grind them out until you can control the game enough to where you secure the victory. But I definitely think it is important to, you know, to stay aggressive and never become relaxed.
Mark, that first drive by Virginia that seemingly took a half an hour, and they ran about 20 plays to get into the end zone, which I think it was the second longest drive in the history of the University of Virginia in terms of clock time.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Talk about the maturity of Matt Johns now, and what are the things that you see as a former Virginia quarterback that you like in his development, and then critique him a little bit in terms of maybe some of the things you think he's working on and the coaches are working with him on.
I really like what I see from Matt to date. And, you know, I liked him last year too, when he got his opportunities last year. I think he's very poised. It seems like, I think he's got like a good demeanor to him. He doesn't really get too high or too down. You know, he seems pretty comfortable back there. He's got good accuracy and good touch with the ball. And he's pretty kind of deceptively athletic, I think, which I think plays into his strengths, too, for buying time to find some open guys or maybe just tucking the ball and getting enough yards for, like, a first down. So I think he's making pretty good decisions, and I'm looking forward to seeing how he improves the rest of the way.
How much of a difference is it that he's the guy as opposed to having to look over his shoulder if he makes a bad throw that somebody else might be coming in? You know, from your perspective, again, as a former quarterback.
I think it's important, you know, to have that feeling that the team and the coaches have your back and that, you know, they're supportive of you as the starter and they acknowledge you as the starter. I think it really helps your confidence when you go out there. You never want to be in any situation where you're having to look over your shoulder and worry about getting pulled if you make a mistake. I mean, as a quarterback or as a player, really, you already have enough to worry about being in a college football game with, you know, the schemes that you're using and your opponent. It's an intense thing already. So to have that mental component thrown on top, it's definitely not going to help you be at your best. So I'm glad that Matt has that opportunity, you know, knowing that the coaches and the team is fully behind him.
Mark, you grew up in Pennsylvania. Did you know of Matt Johns through friends and other sources, you know, in the years that followed? And were you aware that he was a potential recruit for Virginia?
Honestly, I was not. I was not very familiar with him before he had come to UVA. And then I heard, you know, that he was a Pennsylvania kid. I wasn't aware of him. I have never really, I guess, followed too much into, you know, who they were recruiting and stuff like that. And I think we were always busy with, you know, whatever we had to deal with at the time.
That's enough, but, right?
yeah. Right. But, I think regardless, we're definitely happy to have you know, another Pennsylvania kid. There's something about those PA quarterbacks. They just keep coming down here.
You know,
something about those PA athletes. We don't want to talk about PA quarterbacks. You know?
We're talking about quarterbacks here, Haba.
But, Mark,
Haba grew up outside of Pittsburgh, and he loves anytime we have anybody from the state of Pennsylvania that could even play tiddlywinks. Oh, my goodness.
We were good at tiddlywinks back in the day. But, Mark, you talked about Matt Johns' leadership skills. How is he throwing the football?
I think he's got an impressive arm. He's got – he can put some zip on it if he has to, but he also can, he has a nice touch when he needs that as well. He throws a pretty good deep ball. And he's been pretty accurate. I think he's completing like definitely well over 60% of his passes. So he's looking pretty good so far, I think.
Well, let's sort of set the stage for the importance of the moment this Friday night at 8 o'clock in Scott Stadium is
the Broncos come to town.
The Broncos of Boise
are
State.
To town.
This is a big game. The Broncos were able to beat Washington 16-13 to start the season.
Yeah.
They lost in a sort of a topsy-turvy game against Brigham Young by 11 mm-hmm. points. And then they crushed apparently the doormat of that part of the country.
The Bengals of Idaho State.
Idaho State. Not the Vandals, but the Bengals, 52
oh,
to nothing.
Goodness gracious.
But in the aftermath of the victory over Idaho State, it was learned that the quarterback, Ryan Finley, had apparently injured his ankle.
Right.
And it's questionable whether he will be able to play this week. Since this school is not an ACC opponent, they're not going to release an injury report. He was replaced in the game against Idaho State by Thomas Stewart and Mark Rippon's cousin?
Nephew,
Brett Rippon. And both those
really?
Quarterbacks played well. So we got a little bit of a semi-Redskin offshoot connection there. The scary thing about the Broncos is they are very effective in the red zone. This year they are 13 of 15 in the red zone, 11 of those being touchdowns. Now, it's hard to say, you know, what Idaho State had. Because
the red zone on a blue field, is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, you know, I don't understand that. you can't watch that kind of game, can you? But so Mark, explain to us, short week this week, Friday night game.
Yep.
Virginia has got to get tough this week, fix some things. We've talked about special teams and the deep passing game teams are using against Virginia.
Right.
And they've got to find some new wrinkles on the offense and keep using some of these new talented playmakers. What do you see in this game, and what do you expect will happen?
Well, honestly, I don't know too much about Boise because I haven't seen them play. So other than what I've heard, you know, about their win against Washington, the loss to BYU, and then last week's game against Idaho State?
Yeah, Idaho State.
Yeah, it sounds like they're going to be pretty solid. I mean, they're playing really good teams there, and they're hanging in there with them. And from what I hear, they're really athletic. So I think, you know, to your point, Frank, I think, you know, working on keeping plays in front of us and not allowing big plays, because these guys are probably going to be pretty athletic. Probably good speed at on offense and stuff. So I think it's probably going to be important to just, you know, try and make them earn their drives and their yards. We can't, you know, give up any easy plays against a really athletic team.
You know, I noticed one thing. Their running backs were all about the same size as the Virginia running backs. Almost mm-hmm. almost to a man. They're all 5'9", 5'10", 195, 200 pounds, every one of them.
Right, right.
Which is seems odd, but I guess they can get to the hole quickly, and then if there's a seam.
Quickness and speed, I guess, is what they're looking for.
But they're known for deception and their trickery. I mean, everybody remembers that bowl game where they torched Oklahoma in that overtime. How does Virginia break in these linebackers and get them prepared so that they're not totally fooled? Because that's the only thing that worries me in this game is that the poor linebackers, they've never seen some of the stuff that's coming this coming Friday night.
Right. Well, I think I can tell you they're definitely going to have a big week of scout team. Going against the scout team and the work that the scout team does during the week preparing a starting defense is crucial to the preparation going into the game. So, you know, I'm sure Coach London and those guys are drawing up all of Boise's trick plays that they've seen on film dating back of, like, probably the last, you know, couple of years. And repping them in practice so these guys can be prepared in that situation. It's going to be very important for nobody to fall asleep, you know, and we have to stay focused on our keys and our assignments. Otherwise, you know, they might catch you sleeping with some kind of crazy play. So I guarantee you they're repping that stuff right now.
Mark, we've got to jump to our next break here quickly, but I want to ask you, quickly, what was your favorite moment as a Cavalier?
My favorite moment as a Cavalier? You know what? It was probably, either the UNC win that we had at home when they were ranked in the top 25, and we were kind of playing a miserable game, and then we just came back in the end and brought it into overtime, and then we ended up winning in overtime. That was a fun game. All the fans rushed the field, and somehow during the craziness on the field and the sea of people, I was like suddenly like face to face with my family, like my sisters and stuff. And it was so random, but it was crazy. And then a fan stole my helmet, and then madness ensued. But that was a great feeling.
You know, Mark, the right answer is your favorite moment as a Cavalier is right now, being on Who's Talking.
That way, you didn't let me finish. I was going to get to the second part.
All right. Well, listen, we appreciate your joining us. And go Who's on Friday night. Hopefully we're all going to be happy by about 11 or 11:15 Friday night, something like that. But at any rate, former Cavalier quarterback Mark Verica, thanks for joining
us, Mark.
Thank
you, Mark.
Thanks, guys, for having me.
All right, we'll be back with our final segment, Olympic Report, our look at the game, and maybe some of the other games on the ACC schedule. Stay tuned. We'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Who's Talking.